My name is Caitlin Blancett. I'm 24, and today is October the 30th of 2018, and I am here with...
Roxy Deer. I am 27 years old, and I have lived in Richmond my entire life, except for college.
Okay. And we're in Richmond, Indiana. Sorry, Richmond, Virginia. You don't get a Roxy. All right, so let's start out. The first question we have for you is, who was a person with a big influence in your life, and what was the lesson you learned from them?
Well, there's been a lot. I would probably have to naturally start with my mother. Jan Deer, she grew up in the town just the same, and I think she probably taught me the most to give back. And she lived that to the day that she passed away, and the night before she passed away, she had raised $13,000 for free mammograms.
Whoa!
So I think that's kind of the legacy that she left me, and that's the legacy I want to live out every single day. And I got that, you know, from my grandparents as well, and who raised me, and all of my aunts and uncles, they've all had the same. It's a, my family's very philanthropic in the fact that we would rather give than take in our community.
What do you think inspired your mom to, like, give back so much?
I think probably her parents. Our whole family, ever since I was a kid, I had a mandatory number of hours. I had to volunteer each week.
Oh,
and most kids had, like, soccer practice, and I had volunteer service. And she was raised the same way. And so I think just that kind of instilled in our family and was one of the values that I grew up thinking that was normal for every kid to do. And I know that my grandfather was the exact same way. He owned his own business, and I think he probably gave away just as much free business as he took in monetarily because he wanted everyone to be taken care of.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. What were some of your favorite experiences from volunteering? Did you like volunteering as a kid, or were you like, why am I doing this?
So my parents were always very, they always made sure that I understood why I was doing it, and that, you know, it was to open my eyes and to see the world and to see that not everyone got the opportunities that I was getting. And so growing up, I always volunteered with church groups or at the Circle U food shelter, serving food there, cleaning tables, packing bags to go out and be served in the neighborhoods. And so those all those memories and the people that I met doing that, not just the other volunteers, but the people that we were serving and hearing their stories has always been something that I've really cherished and something that I've always thought, I need to go back and do more of that. I need to continue giving back to the community. And that's been something that's always stayed with me.
Is that something that, like, because obviously a lot of people aren't raised like that,
yeah,
you know? So is that something that, like, when you meet people, you're like, oh, you don't really, like, have that sense of the duty of volunteerism? Is there any way that you try to, like, share that or spread that to people?
You know, my friends are always saying that once you become a friend of mine or once you're in my inner circle, you become more busy because I'm always dragging you somewhere. I'm like, let's go do this, let's go do this. And I think that's how I share my duty of volunteerism. I drag people with me, and then eventually they start to see why I do it and why I love what I do. And that's been something that, at least in the last 5 years, my friends are always like, yeah, if you become friends with Roxy, your social calendar just becomes hers because she puts stuff on it all the time.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
So you have very good managerial
skills. Yes, or I just have good skills at dragging people to other things.
You know, convincing them.
Yes.
Persuasion.
Yes.
There are better ways.
The sales.
There you go.
Yeah.
Like being in sales. Well, that's cool. What's your... I have a question on here. What's your happiest memory? But since, like, volunteering seems to be such a big part of you,
mm-hmm.
What's your happiest memory volunteering?
Make
it more specific.
Yeah, that was a good one. There have definitely been a lot. I volunteered at the Cope Environmental Center when I was a kid.
I did not know that.
I did.
For the listeners, I work at the Cope Environmental Center.
I was, I think they called us like junior rangers,
yes,
or something. Yeah, I was part of the first group that went through that. And I worked with the kids there. And I actually had two or three kids that were in the preschool class, and I was probably a freshman or sophomore in high school, and I've stayed in touch with those kids ever since. And wow. There's a couple of them, they're in 7th and 8th grade now, and they still are like, Roxy from Cope, and they like recognize me. So that's been kind of a cool one. I've done a ton with the church groups and vacation Bible school studies and having the kids there. And then that dragged into college too. I volunteered all the time in college at the animal shelters, and I'm a foster fail. I always adopt the dogs I foster. So
I see your Facebook updates of your dogs all
yes,
the time.
Yes, they're little terrors, but you know what? I got into it, and so it's fun to volunteer, and you always leave feeling like you've done something really good, but inside you feel really good about, you know, your life too.
Yeah. Helping people. So what are you proudest of and why?
Wow, that's a loaded question.
Super broad.
What am I proudest about? This one is such a generic answer, but it's so true for me, is my education. Mm-hmm. I was not your traditional student. I didn't love to go to class. I didn't love to learn. And so to get me to love to learn, you really had to push me. And so teachers constantly were thinking of creative ways to make me see the content. And that bled into my home as well. We went on vacations all the time and go to museums. And really, I had to like physically touch stuff for me to learn it. And I knew when I was in high school that I was going to college, but I didn't want to go to college.
Yeah.
So those 4 years were tough for me. I was like, I can just be doing this stuff in the world. I don't need to learn about it. I can just do it. If you told me when I graduated high school I was going to be teaching high school in the next 6 years, I would have laughed in your face because you couldn't get me out sooner. And then when I graduated with my degree and I started teaching high school students, it was almost funny because I could see myself in them. And yeah. I was like, okay, now I get why you don't want to be here. Let's make this fun. And that's kind of morphed into now I want to do more with education on the policy side. Mm-hmm. And so understanding education and understanding where I came from with education versus now is really, that's probably my proudest moment or my proudest accomplishment, because that was a tough one. It was a struggle for me to get a master's degree because I hate having to read a book. I just want to apply it and do it.
Yeah.
And so that's been probably one of my proudest memories.
Well, that's cool. That education is something that's come up a lot in these conversations.
Yeah.
Because almost everyone I've talked to is like, yeah, I wasn't good at like traditional school. Yeah. I didn't like it. I had these struggles.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so interesting. It doesn't feel like any one person like fits into traditional schooling. It's like, well, why is it this way then?
Yeah. The Richmond High School principal will tell you this. I was at school every single day, but I probably went to class maybe every other day. I was just so involved in other stuff that I would be like,
skipping.
Not because I was skipping,
you
but
were
like
helping sick puppies.
Yeah, I was like, you know, planning prom or doing, you know, and I loved being at the school and being involved in things, but I hated the classroom piece of it. And so to get me to that senior year, they were like, you have to go to class. You just have to go and sit your butt in the seat and just listen.
Well, it seems like you're also just the kind of person that's like, I mean, you've said this, you'd rather be out like doing the thing.
Yeah.
So it's gotta be hard to like sit and learn how to do the thing.
Yeah, I want the real world experience. And one of the coolest experiences I've had in college was my professor just released our class to inner cities, and we could pick what city we want to, if we wanted to go home, and we had to live in those cities with bare minimum, you know, like we had to survive 3 days without, you know, any money, without any food, anything.
Whoa.
And how do we make it work? And so
that's your kind of learning.
Yeah, I was like, I don't have to read a book. I'm just going to go do it. I'm just going to live. And it was such an experience learning, you know, I picked Cleveland for some reason, whatever. And I had to learn the transportation system and all these things. And it was such an experience that when I walk back into my classroom, I'm like, oh, I get it now. Like, students need to learn. They need to be hands-on. They need to be, it needs to not just be something on a piece of paper. It's something that they have to understand and take in.
How did you do it?
I did not do well.
Oh no.
I cried a lot.
Well, who wouldn't? I mean, that's a really intense experience.
Yeah, so this class was learning about social justice issues, and we had to there were things that we had to accomplish during those, like, I think it was like 48 to 60 hours that we had to do. And one of them was sleep outside, and one of them was, you know, eat in a food clinic and all, or a food shelter. And so learning how to find those things and talk to people and not be, and we weren't allowed to wear like our name brand clothes and our, you know, you couldn't walk outside in your North Face jacket and UGG boots. Like, that wasn't going to work for you. So that was an experience that you really had to step out of your comfort zone for.
It sounds like it. So I'm sorry, you slept outside.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so intense. And luckily it was like a spring. It wasn't like a super cold, but it was rainy. And there were three of us in my group. So you weren't doing this alone for, you know, that's not safe. Yeah, safety reasons. But we had to find an area that was safe. And there was like a church that had opened their parking lot. And that's what we did. And that was a really cool experience to do.
That sounds like an awesome professor.
Yes. Yes. This is also the professor that in one of his classes, you had to switch roles with somebody on the campus who had an entry-level position. So somebody who was a janitor or a cafeteria worker, you switched roles with them for 3 days. And you did what they did, and they did your classes, and they got to see both sides of it.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's something that's so, like, missing in human connection nowadays is, like, we demonize each other so much that we can't even imagine, like,
the
actual situation that other people go through. And, like, you've lived it. I mean, for 3 days.
It does not do anything. It does not showcase any of it. The 3 days was, you know, I was like, oh, it's still kind of a game and still kind of a competition. And at the end of it, I was like, oh, that's somebody's real life every single day.
Yeah. And I'm sure that only adds to like
your
need to
help
and absolutely to give back. Yeah. That's, I didn't know any of that. That's a really cool experience.
Yeah. It's one that I've taken with me.
Where did you go to school?
I went to Worcester. It's just west of Cleveland. And I was a legacy there. So I was the second or third in my family to go there.
Okay.
I looked for a college very similar to Earlham. And I wanted liberal arts. I wanted tiny. And I ended up at Worcester.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would love to meet that professor that, like,
you guys would actually be really good friends. I feel like you would adore him.
That would be so cool.
Yeah.
I have so much to say about education, but this is about you. So, how would you like to be remembered?
Oh, goodness. I think for me, if, you know, something were to happen and people had to, you know, think about my life quickly, I'd hope that they would think that I was someone who gave back, someone who loved the community that she was, you know, living in and raised in, but also someone who saw the excitement or saw the reason why you help others and why you do things for others. And how do you help others become better? And how do you, that's how I want to be remembered. And I don't know if I'm going that right path, but I definitely love the idea that we all have the power in us to help one another. And that's what I want to follow my dreams for.
So you do a lot in this community, and you've talked about how much you love this community. Mm-hmm. And like, why?
Yeah, so my roots are here, and that sounds goofy to say because everyone has roots somewhere, but you can trace my family back years and years and years. And being born and raised here and seeing my family be, you know, all of us, I'm an only child, but all my mom and her siblings were born and raised here. And my grandparents the same. And so I've grown to know things about this community and to know how things work. And I have, you know, my great-great-grandfather on one side was the architect for the courthouse. And,
whoa!
On a sadder note, my aunt died in the Uptown explosion. So, I mean, I have history here, and I have, you know, there's a piece of me wherever I go, and that's kind of exciting to me is, you know, it may not always be great history, but it's history. And I have a piece that, you know, when I drive down the street, I can think, oh, I know this story about Fort Wayne Avenue, or I know this story about, you know, Sheridan Street, or whatever it may be. And that to me is exciting, because I don't think a lot of people my age know those stories or have a reason to want to know those stories. And I get excited to hear all the history, and I get kind of a nerd moment is that I love to go and look at museums and see all the old Richmond stuff. And
I love it at the historical museum.
Yes. Oh, it's my favorite.
Learn all about Mrs. Garth.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Those, I mean, that kind of stuff just it's a town full of history and culture, and mm-hmm. we don't always celebrate that. And I think that that's one of the reasons why I love it, is that we are starting to celebrate who yeah. we are, where we're going, where we've been, and where we're going. And that to me is just really exciting.
Yeah. So you grew up here and mm-hmm. moved away and came back. I kind of have a similar story with that.
Yeah.
What like changes have you noticed in Richmond from when you grew up here, when you were a teenager here, to like coming back after school?
Yeah, so one, we're talking about what we're doing now, right? Yeah. So when I was 16, you could say there's nothing going on in Richmond because it felt like nothing was going on in Richmond. And there could have been 100 things, 100 festivals every weekend, but nobody talked about them. Mm-hmm. And now we're just so excited to share what we're doing and to share, you know, this weekend there's this, 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 and this. Oh, and don't forget these other 6 things are going on. And now it's like, well, which thing am I going to go to? What, you yeah. know? And for the longest time, it was like, I remember growing up being like, cannot wait to get out of here. Like mm-hmm. it was the same thing every Friday night. Everyone got in the cars and drove around the town and looked for something
Walmart.
To do. Yeah. And acted a fool. And now people have things to do that are constructive and fun and exciting, and they develop you into a better person. And I think that is probably the biggest change, is we're talking about what we're doing. But other big changes include, you know, we've got jobs coming in. We've got, you know, every place you look for is hiring, and that's a big deal. And it's just such a cool time to be part of Richmond's history, because it's mm-hmm. all changing and it's shifting, and we're really starting to own this buy local thing and
yeah.
take it to the next step.
How do you think, so there, I mean, being like a young person, a young professional,
yes.
you know, in Richmond, how yeah. do you think that? How do you think that makes your perspective of Richmond unique? How is your perspective of Richmond different from, like, other age groups? I don't yeah. know if that's a weird question.
No, it's something I think about frequently. So for young professionals in this town, if you're here, you have to be active, right? You can't just play video games at home and Netflix binge all the time. Although
oh,
that's easy
could.
To do. If I could Netflix binge every day, I probably would. But I think for young professionals, we have to be aware that we're here, and we have to talk that we're, you know, in 10 years, we're going to be the middle-aged business people that are going to be running these businesses. So we've got to make our mark now. We've got to find ways to dig our roots in a little bit deeper. I keep saying that, but if we make this our community, then it's a place we'll want to live and raise our families. And that's exciting to think about. And it's fun to think that the people that are around right now that are in their 20s, 30s, that are loving their community are eventually going to be the ones teaching other people to love this community,
mm-hmm.
which is fun.
I think about that a lot.
Yeah, I do too. It's something that's constantly on my mind.
It's exciting to think about. From my perspective, and you can comment on this, but mm-hmm. I've always thought Richmond was cool because it was a place where people our age can, like, take on these really big leadership
right.
and responsibilities,
right.
and I feel like it's very unique to Richmond, at
yeah.
least in my perspective.
I mean, and you have numerous roles in the community, and I have numerous roles in the community, and for my friends who live in bigger cities or live in, you know, other areas of the country, they're still in those entry-level positions,
mm-hmm.
and they're like, how are you already the director of da-da-da-da-da, or the president of da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, it was there, I put my name in the hat, it went for it, and so we're given the opportunity to lead, and we're given the opportunity to grow in those roles as well, and how many times do you hear the term young professionals in a celebratory way in the area, and we have... at least on top of my head, we have 2 awards every year that celebrate young professionals. And
mm-hmm.
that's exciting. Like, there are communities where I could move to tomorrow and start doing the exact same thing, and I'm never going to stand out. I'm just
yeah.
going to be in a pool of hundreds of other young professionals trying to do it. But because there is such a small community, you can really gain traction from doing those quickly. And that's fun to see, and it's fun to see other people start to grow too, and you hear
mm-hmm.
all these new names coming up, and you're like, oh, let's hold on, let's see what that one does, and
yeah.
you see them grow, and you see it, and it's just, it's a cool environment.
Yeah, I think, It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah, I like it around here.
So speaking of Young Professionals, why don't you, can you tell me a little bit about your involvement with the Young Professionals group?
Yeah.
Give a little pitch for HYPE.
Yeah, HYPE. So HYPE stands for Helping Young Professionals Engage. We've had a long history here in Richmond, about 15 years. We started out through IU East, and we were owned by the IU East Student Activity Center as part of their alumni program. And then they broke off from IU East because a lot of other students and graduates wanted to be a part of it. And they were under the chamber for a while. And then they broke off from the chamber and became HYPE. And that's, it's a young professionals group for anyone 21 to 40. And we've recently undergone a lot of strategic planning to kind of change the programming. We don't want to be known as the pub group or the pub crawl group anymore. We want to be known as the group that really develops the young professionals in town. And understanding what that means too. That's a big undertaking.
Yeah.
Is it what young professionals think they need or what businesses are telling young professionals they need?
Oh, that's so interesting, because that's not the same.
They're not the same. And so that's one thing that we're also trying to connect the dots between young professionals. And I think you can attest to this, that sometimes we get in our silos and mm-hmm. we have the same friend groups and we're all kind of going in these, you know, circles in our own different directions, but we never really cross paths. And so connecting those dots so people can learn to network and meet others and have that kind of connection to one another and feel like, you know what, I'm not alone in this. I'm here. And but also looking at the young professional group is, how do we prepare you for the next step? Not professionally and socially, but just in general.
Like, next step of life.
Do you know how to buy a house? Do you know how to make an estate? Do you know how to pay your bills on time? Because I've learned the hard way. These are not fun things to learn, and adults are not prepared for those when they are on their own. So we have a couple new classes coming out starting next month that will be talking about how do you plan an estate and how do you make sure that your family's covered if something happens to your house, or how do you buy a house? All these things that it's fun to hear them, and it's great information to have out in our community.
And it's so necessary, too, because, like, you seem like you have a really strong connection with your family, and they're mm-hmm. very supportive and taught you a lot, but, like, you know, and you realize that not everybody has that, you
exactly.
know? Some people don't grow up with their bills getting paid on time.
Exactly.
So they don't, like,
they don't learn that skill.
Learn that.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting data out there that says the new generation that's coming up, they're not prepared at all for the life skills that they need, and that includes like paying bills and keeping track of your money, and mm-hmm. they're not prepared at all because they've been forced into the standardized testing, which is a whole nother educational topic, but
that's the next segment.
Yeah, let me do a 45 minute talk on that one. But we have to prepare ourselves, and then we have to start preparing others.
I love this, educate yourself and then reach out and pull somebody else
yes.
up and reach out.
Yeah, that bootstrap effect. Yep.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's super cool. I love the attitude.
Thank you.
I love that you're in charge of an organization that can, like, help make that happen.
Yes, it's a big undertaking, but I think we've got a team of people that we can really trust to get it done.
Yeah. Another thing that I notice in Richmond, and this goes along with, like, educating our young people and, like, seeing the potential, is just, like, the Generation Xers right above mm-hmm. us, like, I feel so much support from them in this community.
Yes.
And, like, a lot of people, when you get outside, when you get on Facebook or whatever, they're like, oh, millennials. And, like, I don't really hear it that much.
No.
I hear it every now and again from, like, one person. But, like, for the most part, there's so much support.
Yeah, and I think very directly, my boss, Melissa, who's the president of the chamber, the day she hired me, she was giving a speech that afternoon about hiring young professionals and how that changes the workforce. And I was like, oh, she's just saying that because she just hired, you know, and she's got another young professional in her office. And she was like, I believe in this. Like, this is what we have to do to train our future. We cannot just keep it in our generation. We have to grab people and pull them up. And at first I was like, she's just saying it to be saying it. And then I realized she lives that. And that mentorship has been so crucial to my development. And I know my coworkers' development and everyone else is, when you have a good leader, people want to become better people.
Yeah.
And it's Melissa lives that out. Yeah, exactly. It's inspiring. You're like, I want to be her when I grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah. And it feels good to have that love. And I hope that I can give that back to somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, who's in college right now or in high school that needs a good mentor?
It's a terrifying thought that, like, someday we're going to have to, like,
be the adults.
Yeah, be the adults. Because it's so much more fun just to listen to the adult advice, right?
Yes, exactly. I saw a meme the other day. It was like, you ever have that problem where you, like, turn around and look for an adult and then you realize you're the adult and you're like, who's doing it better? Who can help? I'm not the adult here. That's me.
I get that sometimes where, like, I have a younger brother and he'll, like, ask me advice about something. I'm like, oh my gosh, you should not be asking me.
Why? Nope. I'm the only,
I am not old enough to answer that.
Yeah. I love that.
Okay. How about this? For your great-grandchildren, what wisdom would you pass down?
Ooh.
What would you like them to know?
Ooh, in general, I would say always give back. Always be someone who serves others, and that's how you kind of live your life. But that's very broad. How do you serve others? And another piece of wisdom that I would give back is that it's just always okay to take time for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we do that enough today in society, to say, okay, I'm turning my phone off, I'm turning my TV off, I'm turning my laptop off, not answering emails, and I'm just going to enjoy my day.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I'm guilty of that. I actually took a day off on Sunday and I turned my phone off. I turned social media off and I just enjoyed my day with my dogs. And that, you know, I don't think enough, we do that enough. And so that's one thing I would always ask others to do.
Something that's very interesting, because I feel like when you, I mean, I've been experimenting with, like, social detox and I've been talking about it. And it's like, when you turn that off, like, when you lose all of your connections, what's the first feeling?
I'm, like, stressed. I'm like, who's trying to call me? Who needs me? What am I missing?
What memes am I not seeing today?
Yes. I was in a lunch meeting today when they decided to reschedule trick-or-treat.
Oh.
And I had 16 texts and phone calls when I got back because people were trying to get a hold of me to say, hey, did you know? Hey, did you know? Or hey, do you know more information?
And you don't even have children.
Don't even know. I'm not part of this.
Not through the chamber.
It's not through the chamber. It was not part, you know, but the church ladies were calling to see if I knew if that was true or not. And the neighborhood association was calling to double check that we had heard that or not. And it was like my phone was blowing up and I was like, I was gone for an hour and I had 16 text and phone calls that people had reached out. And I was like, this is why I can't turn my phone off, because the world will collapse all around trick or treat.
But I feel like whenever I try to, like, turn off the phone, turn off the social media, like, there's that immediate feeling of panic. Panic and, like, isolation.
Yeah. I feel like I'm completely alone. No one can, if something happens, I'm done. Like, no one's ever gonna know.
You just start, like, looking around the room, like, so what now?
What do we do? And so I'm really guilty about doing this, and it's not a good thing that I would never recommend to anybody, but at least once or twice a year, I go completely off the grid. I get a hotel room somewhere, take the dogs, I go, like, hiking, or I go, I'll usually let one or two people know where I'm at, and occasionally turn on my phone so they know I'm okay, but I completely turn, and I don't even turn the TV on, I don't take my laptop, and I just turn off.
That's so nice.
And it's so, like, but I have to have something to do, because if I'm just going to go sit in that hotel room for 2 days, it's going to be miserable. But if I know, okay, I'm going to turn my phone off at 9 o'clock and I've got a 9 o'clock tea time, I'm going to go golf and I'm not going to think about what's going on.
Oh, I totally thought you meant tea.
No.
like 9 o'clock tea time.
No, my golf time.
Okay. You're a golfer.
I try to golf.
Okay.
I'm not good at it by any means, but I do like to golf.
How long have you been golfing?
I took it up in college. We had a golf scramble for our sorority and fraternities.
Okay.
And so one of the guys decided to teach me, and I took the class for a gym credit, and been golfing ever since.
That is cool.
Kind of a fun hobby. It's a good way to get outside and not have to worry, because I'm allergic to just about everything in nature. So I know, I can't go hiking too often. I can't be, like, swimming in the pond or anything like that. So I definitely enjoy golfing because it's manicured lawns and there's chemical treatments.
The chemicals are better for you.
They really are at this point.
So when you golf, do you get a cart? Do you drive the cart around?
Yeah, I do.
I love golf carts.
They can be really fun sometimes. There's some good stories on golf carts.
Oh, would you like to tell any of them?
Probably not. Let's leave those out of the story.
So you were in a sorority. Was it like a sorority or like a service sorority?
So at Worcester, the sororities were not nationally recognized, which means that we were kind of rogue and on our own, which was an interesting experience to go through. But we were the Pi Kappas, and Mr. Peanut was our mascot.
Oh, monocle?
Yep, absolutely. Mr. Peanut, and we were called the Nuts, the Peanuts. And so all of our shirts said, like, we're getting nutty tonight, or things, goofy things like that. But we did have a service component. We had to do X number of hours a semester for service. But we were lip sync champions, and
nice.
That's one of my hidden talents. I'm a great lip syncer.
That was impressive.
Yeah, it's a fun hobby. I'll say that. I've done quite a few shows.
Really?
Yes.
Have you ever done like competitions?
Yeah, so we would compete, and we would compete for like the best. That was like the ultimate. If you won that, you won like best Greek house of the year.
Whoa.
And so there was, you had to do a 10-minute performance with like a mashup of different songs and different genres. Yeah.
But you don't have to sing.
Yeah, thank goodness. but you always try to get like the coolest songs out or some cool throwback songs, and it was a competition.
What was your favorite song you ever did?
Oh, we did quite a few. We did Walk This Way by Aerosmith one year. And then we did, that same year, we did Candyman with Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
And we pulled the fraternity guys to be like soldiers that were dancing with us. It was hilarious. It was a good time.
It sounds like you need to enter the lip sync competition.
I might need to. I might need to. I don't know if they want that though.
But you have so much experience.
Yeah, that's true. Probably more than most people.
That's some stage experience you have then.
Yeah.
Do you have any other stage theater arts?
No. Well, I played the piano as a kid, and I was in the band, in the marching band. I played the French horn, and then I was my college mascot as well.
This is incredible. Are you serious?
No, I was. We were the Fighting Scots, and so our mascot was a Scotsman, and he wore a kilt.
That's amazing.
And it's this big 6-foot uniform.
Yeah, and with like a head. And
with the head and the arms and the whole thing.
That is real performance experience.
Yeah, yeah.
So, to make some connections and network you a little bit in town, I have met 3 mascots this year.
Oh.
Rowdy Rooster.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. So, actually, I don't know if I'm allowed to identify them. Oh. I'll tell you afterwards. But I met Rowdy and the rat. What was the rat's name?
The River Rat.
The River Rat.
Yeah.
No.
Was it Gus?
No. Anyway, so I'll connect you with them.
Okay, good to know.
And you guys can get like a former Mascots Anonymous group.
Yes, and I'll talk about all of our horror stories.
That is so cool. What inspired you to do something like so goofy?
This is such a story. So our basketball team is really good, and we traveled all the time, anytime they were in national championships and things like that. And we were on a bus up to D.C., that area, for a champion. We were in the Sweet 16, and the dean of students stands up and she goes, "We don't have a mascot for tonight." And she's like, "I've got the costume, but we don't have it." And I like literally was asleep, and my roommate was like, "Roxy will do it." And I like woke up, and she's like, the dean was like handing me the uniform, and I was like, "What? Am I, like, carrying this to somebody?" Like, I was so confused, and she was like, "No, you're gonna be the mascot. Christina said you would do it." And I was like, What?
What's that quote about some people are born with power and some people have power thrust upon their greatness?
That was it. That was exactly.
Some people have greatness thrust upon them.
And so I had like planned to be like in the cheer block that night, and I ended up being the mascot.
That is so cool.
And I was so nervous. I was a complete wreck.
But they can't see you. What are you nervous about?
Because you can look like a fool doing that.
I mean, that's kind of a prerequisite of the job.
Yes, exactly. But I didn't sign up for this job. And so then it just became a thing that once I got comfortable doing it, I was I was always doing it.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a cool college job.
So if we ever get a Cope Center mascot.
Anytime.
I know who to call.
Let me know and I'll do it.
Like our giant squirrel or.
Yes. Anytime you need me to do a squirrel costume, I'll do it. Sign me up.
That's so cool. I want to touch back on something you mentioned earlier that I also didn't know about you because I didn't know much about you. I didn't know you were a teacher.
Yeah. This is a very unknown fact about me. I had my degree in sociology and I moved back to Richmond and they were opening the Excel Center. And I applied there, and I don't know if you know much about the Excel Center, but it's an adult high school for 18 and over, those who have dropped out. And I originally was a success coach, kind of getting you through life and getting you through hurdles that you might see every other day. And we were short staff, and we needed a teacher to teach manufacturing. And it gets weirder, Caitlin, let me tell you. And so I went through this week-long process where I was the only female in the room getting qualified to teach a manufacturing class. And got certified to teach that class. It was a dual credit through Ivy Tech. And then I started teaching economics, which is a whole nother realm of experience. And then I taught a few other classes as well, just kind of as staff, you know, filtered in and out. I would pick up a math class every once in a while or an English class. And so I was teaching high school curriculum to adult students and trying to do the best to engage them and very interesting content. So I at one point I was teaching forklifting, which is
naturally
like, why wouldn't that be a thing?
So and you have your forklifting license?
I did, yes, I did. It's out of date now, but sometimes that would come in handy, you never know.
Oh no, I'm sure it would.
I had my OSHA certification. I could go and work at any manufacturing plant I wanted.
Where do you keep all of the knowledge?
It's all up here somewhere. It's so funny because somebody will say something about, like, in a chamber meeting about OSHA certifications or, you know, whatever they're talking about, CLA, CDL, all these things. And I, like, am instantly clued in. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, like, other people in the meeting are, like, looking them up. And I'm like, I don't have the background that they do. This is so
you,
out of my...
You should know this. I shouldn't.
Exactly. This is something I should not know. I should be looking it up.
Well, the chamber is kind of a perfect fit for you then, having
it,
like...
It kind of draws all the lines together and kind of connects all the dots.
Yeah. And I was also thinking earlier when you mentioned, like, how what young professionals think they need to know is different from what, like, businesses want them to know. Mm-hmm. And, like, you having that position... She works for the Chamber of Commerce. having a position with the chamber, that, like, gives you that inside look.
Yeah, it's such a unique position because I hear all the time what businesses want. And then when I'm with my hype people, I'm hearing other things. Yeah. And I'm like, these things don't communicate well with each other. So working with my team to kind of drive that mission a little bit deeper and to understand that we need more raises for the young professionals, but you have to do something to earn that raise. And maybe that's getting more qualifications or certs under your belt, or maybe you show up to work on time, or maybe, I don't know. That might be something you want to do. I don't know. We'll see. It's amazing how those things work.
It's crazy.
It's just amazing.
You show up on time and sometimes they pay you for
it. Yeah, sometimes they do. They may not. I don't know.
I still don't understand the correlation.
It's crazy.
So you haven't been working there very long though, right? When did you start?
Yesterday was my 6 month mark.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a quick turnaround. I was telling someone earlier today, I applied for the job. Melissa interviewed me 2 days later, offered me the job the next day, and I started a week later.
Whoa.
So it was like a 2 week process from the time that I like submitted my application to the day I started. It was a 2 week. It just kind of felt perfectly. And
what's the position again?
It's the director of programs and events for the chamber. So okay. I am the person who oversees all the big events for the chamber, but also helps them start new programs. So the business education committee just started the business highlights for the middle school students so they can see the different businesses in the county. And those are kind of programs that I'll be working on.
Cool.
Yeah. It's fun.
Yeah. I just have another question. It slipped away so quickly. I can edit this out.
business highlight. We were talking about business highlights.
It was right before that. Well, business highlights are cool.
So we have paired with United Way to do the More Than Words. And, so each month has a different word, and then we've correlated that word with a workforce development word. And we've highlighted a business that features both of those. So we've done Dot Foods, which was incredible. Richmond Furniture Gallery, they heard from their story about kind of recreating the Depot District. Mm-hmm. And then they did Richmond Fire Department, which that video should release tomorrow. And then they're going to be hanging out with one of the construction companies here in town, too, to hear their story. So
I was going to ask. So for people who don't know, like, what's the purpose of the Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird
thing. It's just kind of a thing that exists. I didn't really completely understand it. I don't know if I still do completely.
Like, not with the city, but
yeah, you know. So it's a separate entity that businesses can – it's driven by our members. So businesses join it. And then we become your advocate. So, and businesses could be a one person employee to the biggest corporations in the community, nonprofits with no employees, you know, it can be anything. But we become your advocate. So making sure we understand what your needs are, and the biggest need right now is workforce development in our community. But also understanding that we have to celebrate this community and we have to love this community. So we do a lot of that through our events and highlighting people who have done exceptional things.
Cool.
The Chamber's a fun place to work.
Yeah. Well, you guys are all fun people.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. We have a great staff.
Yeah. And it's also, like, it's so important to, like, everybody wants people to move here, right?
Yeah.
That's, like, the big thing. How do we get people to move here? And it's, like, by identifying the good things that we have here.
Yes, and making sure that everyone knows about the great things.
Yeah. Yeah. Which goes back to what we were talking about earlier, which is
sharing that story.
Yeah. When we were kids, like, maybe we just didn't hear it.
I don't think it was happening.
But it doesn't feel like that kind of stuff was happening. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, is there anything I've missed? Anything super important about you?
I do so much. It's
Why
really
don't
kind
name
of crazy.
Off everything?
That would take too long. No. I think just the biggest thing is that, you know, this is a community that continues to grow and continues to see the value in its members. And so that's something that I think will always be celebrated and something I would want to continue to celebrate.
Cool. Yeah. Well, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for interviewing me.
Yeah. All right. Goodbye. Okay, and we're done. I just blanked. It was like there, and then I was like,
I hate when that happens. You're like, I should have written that down.